This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast. It is Ashley solo. Ben left Napa yesterday and I arrived in Napa yesterday. We are doing this live from the Canarios Resort. It is stunning here. It is like a little HGTV village. It's amazing. Every house that you've ever wanted on HGTV, it's here in this little village and you can come and stay at it whenever you are in the Napa area. We are in Napa for Live in the Vineyard, the music festival. Avril Lavigne's here, Kelsey Ballerini, Maren Morris, Adam Lambert, which is probably my favorite in that rundown, and many more. So I hope to catch him while we're here. And later we will be interviewing Maddie Poppy. She's the winner of American Idol 2018, and she's here performing at the festival. She met her boyfriend on TV, so I think we can relate over that. We also have a couple other great guests. We have Vienna Girardi. She's going to talk about her recent plastic surgery that we discussed a couple weeks ago. Then we're going to have Joe and Kendall on. We're going to talk about their living situation now that they are living together as a couple of a year and a half. We are also going to have Crystal stop by to talk about Demi and Christian's breakup. They were at their wedding, so I'd like to see if they saw some of their chemistry or how they felt about this quick Bachelor in Paradise breakup. All right, guys. Well, we are going to take a quick break before we get Vienna on the line, and I think we're going to get a little bit of an emotional interview out of her, so stay tuned. Okay, guys, I have got Vienna Girardi on the line. Welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast, Vienna. It's the first time you've ever been on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. So tell us a little bit about your life right now, post-bachelor. It's been almost a decade since...
Almost a decade. It does not seem like it's been that long.
Wow, that is mind-blowing. Do you still see the effects of The Bachelor on your life today? Do people still come up to you?
Not as often as they used to, but it still does happen. On Halloween, I was suddenly dressed up with a wig, and I still had people recognizing me. So I guess my smile kind of gives me away.
Mm-hmm. Has it affected your life overall, like the way that some things will always get press and maybe your dating life?
The first few years after The Bachelor were really difficult because it kind of affected everything. Mm-hmm. Friendships, dating, even your career. I mean, it's hard. People don't really take you too seriously when you're a reality star. Right. So it took me a good 5 years after The Bachelor to kind of see a change in that. It still affects it to an extent, but not as bad as it used to. When it comes to dating, yeah, it was difficult because you never knew if people were really dating you for the right reasons or not. Same with friends. Luckily, it's been 10 years, so I have my boyfriend and I have been together for 2.5 years. We plan on getting married and having, a couple babies. So love life-wise, it's going really good. Friendship-wise, I have a really, really great circle of women in my life now, which was hard to come by. So that is something I hold very dearly is those friendships I have now. And work-wise, I have my own recruiting company, which is a change of pace. I started about a year ago, and I'm also doing real estate.
Awesome.
So yeah, my real estate company is actually Will You Accept This Home?
Oh my goodness, that is amazing. Where can people check you out if they're looking for real estate in what area?
www.accepthishome.com. Okay. I used to have a billboard up in Orlando and it was me holding a rose and it said, Accept This Home, and it had like the rose was kind of almost like the Disney wand, and it was kind of building a house. So it was pretty catchy.
Genius marketing. That is amazing. All right. So it seems like everything has kind of come together in your life, which is, I'm very happy for you, especially since there was some rough years over there. But I want to know, would you ever do reality TV again? You went back and you did Bachelor Pad with your ex. So, I mean, you're a risk taker in that department.
Yeah, you know, I'm not too big of a risk taker anymore. You know, it's been many years since I've done anything on television, you know, related to, you know, reality TV stuff. I think the probably one of the only shows I would even consider doing would be my boyfriend and I were talking about this the other day. He actually used to be a professional basketball player, so he's like really athletic. Not Survivor. What's the one? Amazing Race. So I would do Amazing Race. I think that that is a really cool show. I really am into it. I don't even know if it's still on. And Dancing with the Stars. Okay. You know, I wanted to do Dancing with the Stars always. I did get a chance to dance on it, which was really fun. But to be able to compete on it and dance, I think that would be probably the only two things I would consider. I'm a competitive person, so I need to be on something where I'm going to like work towards winning something, and I don't want to win a guy. I kind of lost in that department last time, so I want to win.
Well,
money.
You won, but you also lost.
I didn't feel like a real winner, though.
Yeah, I don't think you were. So you have a new boyfriend. Can you tell us a little about him? How long you've been together? How you met?
Yeah, we've been together for two and a half years. We actually celebrated our 2-year anniversary. We went on a trip to Europe for 3 weeks, which was I'd never been. So he took me to my, you know, where my grandparents are from. We visited his grandparents in Bosnia, which is where he's from. We went to Paris. It was just, it couldn't have been more perfect. We met though through mutual friends. We were, you know, at a birthday party and kind of, you know, looking at each other across the, we were at, it was a late party and we were kind of looking at each other and caught my eye, and a friend of ours kind of saw us looking at each other, and she introduced us and said, actually, you two would be perfect together. Aww. And she was right. You know, we've been together ever since. I remember going home that night and I called my mom. I said, Mom, I met the man I'm going to marry. And she's like, what? And I was like, yes, I met him today and he is perfect.
Oh, I love those stories. Those are the best.
Yeah. He's my yin to my yang. I'm, you know, loud and I'm super fun and I love to be around people, and he's, you know, calm and he keeps me level-headed, and he, you know, he doesn't fuel my crazy when I'm crazy. We balance each other so, so well. It's really, really nice.
That's so nice. You guys were talking about having kids in the future, and you were very open a couple of years ago and you had a miscarriage of twins. They had twin transfusion syndrome, which is when, can you explain that a little bit to our audience?
Yeah. So there's a couple different types of twins. There's twins that have their own amniotic sac and have their own placenta, right? And the placenta is actually what feeds them as baby. That's where the nutrients comes from. There's twins that share an amniotic sac and share a placenta. Then there's twins that have their own amniotic sac, but share a placenta. So that's what I had. So my girls were in their own separate bags, right? Mm-hmm. But they shared a placenta. And sometimes what happens is, kind of explain it so people can understand, is think of like a vein going from the placenta to the baby, right? And that's providing nutrients to each of them. They each have their own. One baby grew a much larger vein, so it was taking a lot more of the nutrients than the other twin was. So what happens is that twin now grows a lot faster and bigger, and the other one doesn't get as much nutrients and doesn't grow like it should grow. So what happened was, because the other twin grew so much bigger, so much faster than the other one, my water actually broke at 5 months early. So I went into labor, and unfortunately they weren't old enough to breathe. So they were fully developed, and if they were born 4 weeks earlier, they could have survived. It's still to this day. I just
4 weeks later.
Four weeks is all they needed to be.
No,
I was 4 weeks older. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a really traumatic thing. I had to deliver one, and then I had a DC. Like they go in and they had to remove the other twin. And I started going into septic shock. After my water had broken, I refused to let them go because they saw a heartbeat. So about 2 days into it, they said, you know, there's no heartbeats. So we have to, you know, you have to give birth to one of these babies, or we have to go in and remove because you're going to get really sick. Right. And I ended up getting really sick. My fever went up to like 104 and just kept going. So I remember just like shaking. My whole body was just shaking, and the nurses were literally just like throwing ice on me, like bags of ice. And I actually donated both my girls to research to help, you know, other mothers and them to learn, you know, why this happens. And so, yeah, it's taken me a few years to kind of accept it. I think that's the hardest thing, is accepting it. And recently we had fertility testing done to see if I would be able to have, you know, babies again. And as of a week ago, all my stuff came back normal.
Yay! So that congrats. Is
really, really good news. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, so I think we're going to start trying, because, you know, I want two or three, and I want them now. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, recently you had, you're pretty open about the plastic surgery that you had. It was a tummy tuck, right?
No, I had a body. Well, you know what's funny is I read the Us Weekly and how completely incorrect it was.
Okay.
I had one procedure done, actually.
And what was that?
Not 10. What I did was, it's called body sculpting, where basically they go in and they make these little tiny incisions. Literally, the incision is the size of your pinky nail, like the tip of your pinky nail is how little the incision is.
Amazing.
And they go in and they basically just do a really small amount of lipo. So I had kind of like a pregnancy pouch in my lower stomach.
Yeah.
So they went in there and they removed that, you know, fat that I had gained. And then, you know, they did a little bit on my arms, the back of my arms and the center of my legs and behind my legs, kind of just make me look like I did before, because during my pregnancy, I was having a really hard time eating. I was throwing up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctors literally were like, just eat, eat whatever you want, just eat. So yeah. I got into a, you know, diet where I'd eat breakfast every morning and I would snack, and then I'd have lunch and then another snack and then dinner. And then I'd wake up in the middle of the night and have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and Oreos.
Hey, this sounds like a dream.
So I started gaining weight, which was good. That's what I needed to. But then, you know, after my miscarriage, my body was kind of still on that diet. So I kept still eating that way. And then, you know, for the first year after that, I was really, really depressed, and I didn't want to work out. I didn't want to go out. I just didn't want to do anything. Like, I just wanted to be this homebody. I didn't want to be around people. It was really hard for me. So then I just kind of kept gaining weight. I got up to like 150 pounds. And just so you know, on the show, I was 120 pounds.
Yeah. Wow.
Barely.
Yeah.
I know when people see me, you know, before the pregnancy, everyone's like, wow, you're so tiny in person. I was like, I know. TV really does make us look a lot bigger than we are.
Yeah.
So I just wanted that little bit of weight, you know, taken off, just so I kind of could look in the mirror and not feel that loss anymore. It's really hard, because every single day I would get up and I would, you know, get ready, and I would look at myself, and every time I looked at my body, I thought, I would think of my girls.
Yeah.
And it just became this just pain every single day, and I needed to not feel that anymore so I can recover and I can move past it. And so that's where we are.
Now, you obviously were kind of, I don't want to say forced, to be honest, about the miscarriage, but since you did deliver them at 5 months, and you had already announced that you're pregnant, you had to be honest with the following about it. But there's a lot of taboo. I did a whole, I have another podcast called I Don't Get It, and we did a whole I Don't Get Miscarriages, and all the taboos that come along with it, and kind of how women just feel shamed that, you know, you can't even announce your pregnancy until 3 months because of a risk of it may, you know, fall apart.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to share with our audience about just women and how frequent miscarriages are and how they should be able to just talk freely about it? Because so many women go through it. I think it's one in five women will experience it, or something like that?
Something pretty close to that. I think the crazy number is 1 in 5 pregnancies end in miscarriages, actually.
Oh, that's it. That was the set I was
looking for. So 1 out of 5 pregnancies will end in a miscarriage. Most miscarriages do happen within the first month or first 3 months, usually. Mm-hmm. To have a miscarriage 5+ months is pretty rare.
Yeah.
And you kind of see those in very rare situations, kind of, you know, with twins especially. Right. I knew I was a high-risk pregnancy. But it is a taboo, and you don't hear people talk about it. Women do feel ashamed of it, which they shouldn't. It's not their fault.
No.
And I think that was one of the main reasons why I wanted to open up and talk about it, is because when it happened to me, I felt so alone. I felt ashamed.
I'm
I felt
so
alone. I didn't know what to do. And it wasn't until it happened that my mom started opening up about her miscarriages. And, you know, I was a rainbow baby for my mom. My sister was a rainbow baby. So my mom had actually had a miscarriage before me, several after me.
And but you didn't know.
I knew she had had a miscarriage. I didn't know to the extent of them. I didn't know when they happened. I didn't know much about it, you know, because she just didn't talk about it. So I learned that, you know, she had some long miscarriages that happened months down the road when she was pregnant. And then she had some that happened early on, but she had experienced the pain I'd gone through. And, you know, hearing her talk about it, it made me feel, it made me feel safe. I didn't feel ashamed anymore. I felt more comfortable being able to talk to her about it. And then after that, you know, there was other family members and really good friends of mine, because, you know, the first couple weeks after it happened, I was in bed rest and I didn't talk about it yet. It wasn't until after, you know, that I wrote the post and announced it. It was, literally, the shelves had just been posted with a magazine about my gender reveal. Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh my God. So my close friends and family knew about it, and people started opening up to me and talking to me. And it blew my mind that some of my best friends that I know everything about had never shared it with me or shared it with anybody. Or family members had, you know, had these miscarriages and they don't talk about it. And I, you know, I didn't understand. I said, why don't we talk about this between each other? I go, because now that we are talking about it, we all are feeling a healing. Like, we feel like we are healing finally. And I think even with my mom, you know, talking to me about it, she felt like after, you know, 30 years, she's finally now healing. And a lot of things, especially with pain, we kind of push it down. And, you know, one thing I did talk to a therapist for a little while. And one thing they say is when you push those feelings down, the bad feelings, right? They actually create you suppressing good feelings. And they create this very, like, I don't know how to explain it. They just make you very numb to anything. Good, bad, doesn't matter. And you don't want that to happen. So she says, you know, the best thing to do is talk about it. It just talk about it. I know that sounds so cliche, but it is. Talk about it. And so I knew, being in the public eye, I had to let people know what's going on. You know, I remember in the hospital, or not in the hospital, when I first got out of the hospital, I was still getting text messages and messages through fans telling them congratulations. I actually
came home
and I had a couple of my girlfriends who had sent me Etsy gifts for me that I still haven't opened. I still have them. They told me when they found out about the miscarriage, they said, don't open the packages, you know, we sent you. Keep them, save them. You will be a mom one day. Yeah. And when you became a mom, open our presents for you. So I still have those wrapped up, never looked at them, but don't even know what they are. So I knew I had to come out and I had to talk about it. And when I did, the amount of support and women who reached out to me and told me about their own stories, it was really sad. But all of a sudden, I just had this circle of women who we could support each other and lean on each other and talk about things. And there was also a lot of really positive stories. There was women that would talk about their miscarriages and now they're rainbow babies, or, you know, they've got 3 kids now. And so then it created this just overflow of hope for me. And I realized it's not the end of the world. And I know this sucks and I know it hurts and it's hard, but guess what? I'm still going to be able to be a mom one day, whether I have my own baby or I adopt a baby, I'm still going to be a mom one day. So having those women a part of my life really was what helped me kind of pick myself back up and keep going.
I'm so grateful for you for sharing that. And I think that so many other people need to be as open about it as you, because it does help that healing process. And I just want to like leave by saying that the next time you're on this podcast, I hope it's you talking about your rainbow babies.
I really hope so.
And if you come on, if you want to talk about the babes.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are in the process of, you know, trying, but not trying, but still kind of trying.
Like, you kind of pulled the goalie, but you're not doing like as much effort as they require, possibly.
Like, we're not, you know, planning it out, yeah, but we're not preventing it from happening, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if it happens, I think we'll be really happy if it happens. But I think that sometimes when you put too much pressure on it, that actually prevents you from getting pregnant.
Right.
So we are just, you know, just letting
enjoy
it.
Enjoy.
Yes. Enjoy the practice. Seeing if it works. Yeah. And we've discussed other options, and we've discussed adopting, which is definitely something we'd be open to. I even told him, even if we have our own kid, I'd still be open to adopting. And I don't even care to adopt a baby. You know, I'm okay adopting a toddler, or, you know, I don't know. I just want children really bad.
Aww. All right. Well, we really hope that you have that soon. You're so sweet. I've loved getting to know you over the past 20 minutes or so. like, I just wish you the very best. You're so sweet. All right. Well, Vienna, thank you for joining us for the first time on the podcast, and we hope to talk to you again.
Yes. I hope that it is with some good news next time I talk to you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
We all know that sleep is important, but consider someone who you know who's in the military or a veteran. Imagine how much a good night's sleep means to them. From military heroes to everyday heroes, the new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed helps everyone get the proven quality sleep that will change their life. According to Sleep Number research, the optimum sleep environment is 65 degrees. That sounds chilly to me, but you know, what do I know? With a 65% humidity. And at 65 degrees, our bodies remain thermally neutral, meaning they don't have to do anything to create or shield heat. That's actually super interesting. To me, a perfect night's sleep is a night that I don't have to set the alarm, because then I don't have that anxiety in the back of my mind about how, like, when I'm going to have to wake up and how that's going to feel. Sleep Number beds allow you to adjust on each side what your ideal firmness, support, and comfort is. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you sleeping comfortably throughout the night. That sounds incredible. It is incredible, because I get to experience it, and I think you should too. You can experience the new effortless comfort of the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed during the Veterans Day sale that's going on right now. You can save $1,000 on the new Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed. It's now only $1,799, plus their exclusive savings for people in the military and veterans. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 600 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you at sleepnumber.com/Ben.
Okay, well, that was an amazing interview. I really liked her. And now I have some other people that I really like in the room, Joe and Kendall. But before we get to talking to them, we got to thank Scene Dating. Scene Dating has brought to you these special Napa episodes of the Almost Famous podcast. Scene Dating is a new approach to online dating. Scene Dating is the next generation dating app that offers complete transparency to men and women looking for the perfect match. Transparent dating means a new, innovative, and honest approach to dating, which allows singles an opportunity to match on human connections and chemistry. So let yourself be seen and enjoy the safest, most positive, and respectful dating environment ever created. All right, Kendall and Joe. Last time we had you guys on, it was July, and you were kind of settling in your new place together. How's it been living together?
It's been great. Yeah, it's been fun.
I mean, like, are you going to ever say anything other than that it's been great?
I mean, well, okay,
fair, that's actually
we have
very
one.
Fair.
I guess the only thing.
We fight. I mean, we get in fights every so often.
I feel we're professional arguers.
I think that's how it is when you get to this, like, in like a year and a half into a relationship.
Yeah.
There's just a lot more bickering because you're so comfortable with each other that you don't keep any annoyances in.
Oh, no. Yeah. We're really open with each other.
Kendall's she's a good arguer. So it's,
yeah.
It's, you know, sometimes it drives me crazy. I can't. I'm the kind of person that.
Tea?
This is my tea. Okay. Oh.
Joe's right. Sick, so. Right.
But I'm the type of person that if we're fighting, I can't go to bed. It drives me crazy.
Oh, no.
Crazy.
Joe, yeah, I'll admit, Joe's always the bigger person. I'm so stubborn.
What I do is, like, I'll leave the room. I'll go in the den, and then I'll be like, I'll be sitting there and I'll be fuming, and then like half hour later I'll kick the door open. I'll be like, and this, blah, 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 blah. You don't make any sense. Like, whatever.
It's true. It's funny. I feel like I analyze conversations and like I remember every detail of it. So, you know, it's hard to escape me being right.
I've been right a few
Joe
times.
Joe has been right, I think, two times.
Joe, I think you'll relate with me in the way that, like, sometimes I'll say something and Jared will pick it. Like, he is so specific about word choice.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, that is, he'll interpret it like one way. He's like, you said these words together. And I'm like, that was not the connotation that I was in. Are you kidding me? Like, you know, I didn't mean that. And he's like, well, that's what you said.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I feel funny. Like Kendall's the exact same way, where she's gonna like analyze.
I'm like,
precisely
it's all about,
what you
it's
said.
All about intention.
Yeah, and,
it's all about intention.
I'll be proving a point, and then she'll bring back like what I said, and she'll just keep saying it, and I'll be like, "All right, fine, I said that, and I didn't mean it because I don't even know what I said. All right, I just said it." You know,
I love this. I wish, you know what's
so great.
One thing I feel like we just need to be more open about, especially since we're in like these public relationships where everything that they see on Instagram is pretty and blah, blah. I'm not like, I don't think you need to go on Instagram and be like, our relationship isn't as wonderful as it seems. We do this and do that. But I think in interviews, it's fun to be like, no, like, of course it's not fluffy and pleasant in our house all the time.
Exactly. I mean, we get along blah, 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 blah. Easy for me to say.
Lately.
It's pretty fluffy.
Lately,
it's been pretty fluffy. I don't think we've had an argument.
But
for
it's coming, and I'll, you know.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna tell you why, because we're traveling a lot.
Oh yeah,
this
we're
month.
Traveling.
So tomorrow we're going to
Japan.
Japan. Oh, I don't know. I don't know
it's
when
okay.
this is being.
You guys, when this was recorded, they were going to Japan.
Yeah, there you go. It's an easy fix. But we're gonna be doing a lot of traveling. Then we're going to Chicago for Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
and then,
first time I'm actually going to Joe's family's in Chicago for Thanksgiving.
And for Christmas, what are you guys doing?
Christmas.
I think Joe's going to be coming to my place.
Okay, yeah, so it's the first switch off year.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we're going to do LA for Christmas. I may stay in Chicago Christmas Eve and then fly out in the morning.
Just because we're in LA all the time and he doesn't get to see his family as much. So, but
that's different. With us, we have both East Coast families.
Yeah.
So, you know, one's for one, one's for the other. His parents are going to our place for Thanksgiving, though.
That's awesome.
The in-laws get along so well.
That's great.
It's a blessing. But I was like, but for Christmas, I don't get my parents because my dad has to work the day after.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, so is this fair breakup?
Yeah, right?
Yep. Anyway, let's go back to your trip. You're going to Japan. You guys argue more when you're in travel mode?
No, but I think after the 4 weeks of traveling,
being together.
It's a stress. Well, we're together all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
We are together all the time.
But there are like stressful times when traveling, especially in a country that doesn't primarily speak English and trying to, and like not knowing how to navigate the buses or the subways or anything like that. So, you know, stresses will be high. I'm sure that'll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
I know not to get into Joe's way when he chooses restaurants.
I know. I
Joe
love
controls the food.
Well,
yes.
I'm a planner. I planned a
Joe
lot
is a
for
great
this
planner.
Tokyo trip.
Talk about what you were telling me last night with the Alon recommendation. So you guys all know Alon, the former executive producer of the show. He's a massive foodie. You can follow him at, is it Food of Alon?
Food of Alon.
Food of Alon on Instagram. And he goes to Tokyo, or he goes to Japan three times a year just to eat, you guys. Like, he likes the culture and all, but he will, like, make a last-minute flight and reservation if he can get in somewhere just to eat, and then he'll fly back like 48 hours later. It's nutty.
Well, it's so difficult to get into these restaurants. You need, for, so he gave me like 20-30 recommendations, And I couldn't get into like 15 of them because you need 60 days advance.
It's crazy.
And in Japan, they don't f around. They're like, hey, if you need a reservation. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Like you can, I don't think you could just walk in.
What are we looking forward to eating,
ooh,
to doing?
Well, I mean, obviously sushi.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's your
ramen,
favorite kind of roll?
I'm not a big roll guy.
Oh, what do
I
you
just,
like?
I just like the cut pieces.
Oh, okay.
The fresh
salmon.
Fish.
Salmon. I'm all about that salmon.
Kendall loves salmon.
Joe's really into tuna.
I love tuna.
I love tuna.
Yeah. I think you're either a salmon person or a tuna person.
Yeah, I'm such a tuna person.
Yeah, I take tuna over salmon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I take salmon over tuna.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's
we'll be even.
Fight.
We'll be even. Although I don't know there's a lot of...
All she's doing is eating salmon the whole trip.
I don't think there's a lot of salmon in Japan. I don't think that's like the main fish.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, it seems like an American fish.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are we going to do over there?
And then we got... Well,
He's still on food.
We have ramen. Then you have like the traditional Japanese sandwich, which is like... They do it like on white
katsu.
Bread.
Katsu.
Mm-hmm. Katsu. But like with Wagyu beef, that's going to be really good. And then there's a pizza place that Alan actually recommended to me.
A pizza place, right?
And they say it's better than Naples, Italy. Like, and it looks so good.
Joe has to go to pizza in every country.
I will. It's called like pizza... I can't pronounce it, but...
It's called pizza.
Joe, do you remember how hard you were with interviews when you were first a newbie... On the franchise?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We actually just talked about this.
Now you just can't shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember...
It's about food. I like it.
I remember, like, you were one of the first people to interview me on the red carpet. And you're like, so, how's it going? I'm like, it's good.
I think that was, like, must have been your first set of, like, in-person interviews.
It was. Yeah. It was. And I was low-key, like, really freaking out. That's why. It wasn't that I didn't have a personality. It was just I didn't know how to, use it.
that looks so, amazing.
Yeah, that's
that
the white
so
pizza.
Good.
Yeah. He, I guess this,
you
this
guys
guy
can go
only
to the
two.
Food of Alon to see this picture.
Yeah.
All right. Nice. All right. Then you told me last night that you're going to do some Mario Kart thing.
Explain. Yes. Mario Kart. So you can actually drive one of the Mario Karts and dress. We want to dress up as the characters. Okay. So... I think I'm going to be... I don't know a lot about Mario Kart. I think I'm going to be a mushroom when I dress up.
I'm going to be
Yoshi.
That's
pretty much the extent. Yoshi. Yeah. So that should be fun. And there's also... in Kyoto, there's an island near Kyoto where you can go hang out with a bunch of deer. Mm-hmm. And they have like hedgehog cafes where you can hold a hedgehog while drinking coffee.
They make really good coffee out there. There's a lot of good coffee spots I want to go to.
I feel like Japan is a place of people who are like specialize in things. You know what I mean? I feel like there's so much passion and dedication to like a specific field. And it's passed down like through generation to generation. So I have a lot of admiration for like how... like perfected they are at each individual category.
Category of what?
I mean, food. I think, I think
like
primarily
cultural
food,
categories.
Cultural categories.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because like coffee, it's taken very seriously. Sushi's taken
everything
very seriously. Ramen, everything.
Even salt. Like there's like a restaurant that like they just like kind of showcase salt, and then they have soft serve ice cream. And then you make the ice cream cone, and then they sprinkle like a different kind of like sea salt on there.
Yeah.
It looks really
okay. So I've just decided that we're going to go on a couples trip together.
Yes.
And I want Joe to do all the food. And I want to go on a trip. So I know I've complained about this multiple times on the podcast, I'm sure. But Jared like doesn't have this passion for food that I do. And it makes me like really sad.
See, I didn't at first.
Really?
I didn't at first. I mean, I would usually just eat the same thing every day. I would make like rice and vegetables and that's what I would. And I'd be like happy with that. Yeah. But Joe has opened my eyes up so much. And now I find myself getting more and more bougie because of Joe.
Yeah. I got really bougie after our Italian trip, after our honeymoon.
Yeah, Italy changes how you feel about pasta, like for sure.
I go to Italy. I just buy stuff at Italy now, fresh pasta.
Italy's so
and
good.
Imported stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I would love to do this. So you guys, when you vacation and you went to Europe together last year, do you feel more bonded after those trips?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, same.
You go through a lot.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, Europe was great too. I mean, we just walked everywhere and just exploring and trying
Amsterdam.
New things together. Amsterdam was
crazy. Trying a space cake together.
Oh, babe, don't tell people.
What's a space cake?
Oh, it's okay.
Oh,
it's
tell
little,
me.
It's a little like, a you know, like a little
no, it's like an
cake.
Edible cake.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a little pound cake with a little bit of marijuana in it.
Oh, that's fine. It's yeah. legal in
it's
California,
true. It's
guys.
Legal. It's legal. But it was one of the most hilarious experiences. I mean, I do encourage people
are you
of
encouraging
age,
people to
of age to try it.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
So I'll tell you, this is something for the podcast that's we've never talked about here before because we're pretty PG and squeaky clean, but Jared and I have both never smoked pot, had an edible, anything like that. And I kind of like, I keep telling him now that it's legal, like, I don't feel like I'm breaking any law.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's just do it together once. It'll be super fun. And we'll just do it in our apartment. Doors locked, you
yes.
know.
Doors locked.
Doors locked. And he won't do it with me.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm not going to do it without him. Like, yes. it's a, we do it together or we don't do it at all.
Yeah, I agree.
You should. I mean, it's not that big.
It's a different perception of reality is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, Jared's paranoid in general. Like, he's paranoid and scared of pretty much everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he's going to have the best time.
That's the thing. If you don't feel comfortable with it and you feel paranoid going into it, then it's not the best.
If you're paranoid in general, like, I can only imagine.
Well, I'm a paranoid person. But when you go to these stores now, especially in LA, you could tell them, like, hey, listen, I get paranoid. Oh, and then they'll give you a strand that doesn't, you know, doesn't make you paranoid or as paranoid as regular weed would.
Cool.
So,
All right. Well, to wrap this up, I wanted to talk about the Scene app for a second. You guys talked a lot about it with Ben and I'm a little bit unfamiliar with it. Can you tell me what you learned in the last podcast?
So Scene is we're actually really excited to be a part of it.
Very excited.
It's about transparent dating. And what I mean by that is that whenever you match with somebody, all of your messages and video chats are public for everybody to see. So everybody else that's on the app can see your conversations and see your video chats.
It's weird.
It's yes.
It is weird, but that's why it's fun.
It's definitely fun. I guess you're going to be very careful about what you say. It's not going to ever get creepy, which is why it's the safest.
Yeah, that's the point. And it's for people that actually want to date. It's for serious daters.
Yeah.
And it may be scary if you're shy, but once you overcome that and you know you step out, what is it, Kendall? The edge of your comfort zone?
Life begins at the edge of your comfort
Thank
zone.
Thank you, Kendall. We need to hang out more because our guys are both the exact same.
Yes.
Jared is obsessed with his comfort zone, and I'm always telling him that quote.
Yeah.
Like, and the magic happens outside your comfort zone
so
with
true.
That, like, that circle and all that the diagram that they have.
Yep.
But even like
do you
our
love
lives.
Your, do you love your comfort zone?
No, I don't mind stepping
I think you've
out
gotten
into.
I think since Joe has broken out of his comfort zone so many times.
Now I'm just
in the past few years.
All over the
I
place.
Think now.
I mean, he was
dancing everywhere.
You know, pushed into Dancing with the Stars, the ultimate non-comfort zone.
Yep. Yeah, that was it. I mean, for me, yeah, I had to do, like. Doing that show was something I wasn't good at. I was so uncomfortable. But you know, once you do it, it's like it's just I'm free now, you know?
And one thing
it's
we can relate.
Dancing machine. I talk all the time.
Yeah, wait, let's get Jared on Dancing with the Stars. He would love it, though.
Oh.
He loves performing.
Oh. It's such a great experience. And also, everyone that's a part of that show is just so, so great to work with.
Have you been watching Hannah?
Yeah. We actually went to the show last week.
The Halloween show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah,
but
I think she's doing great. I know. I think
Jenna just got voted off.
Yeah. Poor
oh,
Jenna.
I love
my
Jenna.
Old partner. She got voted
and
off.
Krama. Aww. Yeah. But yeah, to bring it back to the to the Scene app.
Should Hannah get on the Scene app?
Yes. I mean, I feel like one thing is that being a part of Bachelor Nation, you're no stranger to having a public relationship and for everybody to see every step, the good and the bad of your relationship. And I can speak for Joe and I felt like our relationship got so much stronger the more transparent it was and the more that we shared it with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so we found strength in that with each other. And so I think that's the reason why we're talking to Mike. He's the founder of the Scene app, and he initially wanted to create like a reality TV show out of it. And so he was talking with us and, you know, we had this idea of spreading it to having, allowing like so many people to have this experience with dating. And it brings it back to like the traditional form of dating too, in a sense.
Yes. And you also do have the option to go private. And you can meet somebody you're really into. It's not like you, then you don't stay on the app and keep chatting. Right. And you, you know, you go do your own thing in the real world.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, the formal explanation of the Scene app is Scene app is the next generation dating app for online daters fed up with fake profiles and time wasters. Scene is the first and only dating experience that offers complete transparency to men and women looking for their perfect match. Transparent dating means a new, innovative, and honest approach to dating, which allows singles who are serious about dating an opportunity to match on real human connections and chemistry. And that means more real connections. So if you're tired of relying on a contrived profile and a set of might look like me, but not quite like me pictures, Scene reveals a potential partner's complete personality, charisma, and lets you choose. Let yourself be seen. Enjoy the safest, most positive and respectful dating environment ever created. All right, guys. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for explaining Scene. And have fun on your trip to Japan. I can't wait to hear about the food.
Oh, yes. We will. Joe will for sure be posting. Yep.
Amazing.
Maybe we post a day. Here I come.
Yes. Okay, great. I'll be looking out for those. And I will also look out for the pictures of you guys being Mario Kart. Woo. Thank you for joining me here on the Almost Famous podcast. I'm sure you guys are tired of being here, but we appreciate you every time.
Oh, no. We love being here.
Love
thank
it.
Thank you. All right. Bye. Now we have another wonderful Bachelor alum guest. You're Bachelor alum now, Katie Morton.
Wowza.
How does that feel? Like you're done. Like you are engaged. So like you, well, if it doesn't last, then you can go on another show. Just but we don't want alum. That to be the situation. So
I'm just going
to
stay alum.
You're just going to stay alum.
Let's just say I'll stay alum for life.
Okay.
I like it. I feel like it's a relief.
Amazing.
I made it.
All right, I have a list of rapid fire questions for you because Ben went and he did a whole serious convo with you in the last episode.
Heck yeah, he did.
Did he get dark?
Maybe I did.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to be light and fun right now with the Katie rapid fire, which is apparently my specialty. I think you get to know somebody just as well through rapid fire as you do deep, dark convos.
Perfect.
Okay. Your favorite physical trait of Chris's?
Oh, dang. His hands down. Oh, yeah? Hands
Why?
Down.
Explain. Describe.
I like manly hands. Mm-hmm. I like the nail bed. I like the how big they are. I don't know, man. Something about those hands.
Understandable. What was your first impression of Chris in two words? First impression. It doesn't words? Have to be pretty.
Who's this?
Who's this? That's good.
That's first impression. He's hot.
Who was the person or persons that you told the producers that you wanted to see in Paradise?
Ooh. I said I want a silver fox. That was exactly what I said. I said it in my intro. So then, well, I got one.
A silver fox. Were you talking about anyone in particular?
At one point I thought, and I think I said this on the podcast before, Peter Krause.
Okay, yeah, because I was like, I don't know if there's any other silver foxes.
There's a Rachel's whole season, I felt that there were older guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably the last one with older guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're looking out for Rachel's peeps.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned to Jared during Help I Suck at Dating that you and Chris, basically, you go watch TV all day long, snuggle on the couch, and then you'll go to dinner. And those are your visits with each other, which I love. What was the last show? What was the show that you binge watch? You binge watch anything, or do you watch just
we
like what's on TV?
We watched a movie. It was called Fractured, and I was scared. It was called Fractured. It was really a mind. It was one of those mind mystery movies where you don't. I really didn't know what was going to happen at the end, and that's one movie that I can say I actually got through because I really wanted to know what was going to happen. I was on the edge of my seat, but I hated that he was leaving the next day because then scared. I didn't want to be at my house by myself. I was like, oh no. And I walk into my house with my fingers shaped like a gun. Like, who's there?
Was it you who had a scary break-in?
I did.
Yeah.
I
Are
did.
You okay with talking about that?
I am. It was the day I was supposed to leave for Paradise.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. What it happened? Wasn't, It was a someone who was homeless and on a lot of drugs. So luckily it wasn't someone who was a fan or anything like that. I know people were worried about that. It was someone who wasn't in their right mind. And that was really scary for me. I was supposed to be home, but by the grace of God, I was not. He went into my room, knocked all of the stuff that I had packed for Paradise onto the floor, had trashed my house. He put a lot of Aquafina bottle labels on my floors, on my wood floor, stuck them all to my floor like a puzzle.
Weird. Creepy. Did I hear something about like him dancing?
Yeah. So my neighbors, he was like screaming, yelling. My neighbors saw him. He was smashing vases outside. And he was apparently dancing around and then dancing in my house, I guess. The police came in and got him. He had tried to take $4 from me, which was sitting right next to my MacBook Pro. He took the $4 and threw it in the bush angrily. that was what I heard.
Didn't take the Mac.
Didn't take the Mac. He was like, screw this MacBook Pro. I want $4 and then I want to get rid of it quick.
That's when you know he's not in his right mind.
Absolutely.
You kind of alluded to the fact that you got through Fractured, the movie.
I did.
Because you often fall asleep while watching movies with Chris.
Yes.
What was the last movie you fell asleep during?
That's a good question, because typically I can't even get to the first line of the movie. No, I'm not kidding. I am so... As soon as the movie's on, Chris turns the lamp off. And as soon as the lamp's off, I'm off. I swear. It's like the lamp goes off and my eyes shut. And I try so hard. I think there's part of me that, you know how you're almost like half asleep and he's like, are you sleeping? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And I get up really fast. I'm like, I'm not sleeping. And I get really defensive about it. And then I lay back down and I'm sleeping again.
But me too. I do the same thing.
I wake up and I lie to him. I'm like, I'm not sleeping at all. What are you talking about? Get off my back.
I get sort of defensive and embarrassed too when I keep falling asleep during movies because we just can't do it anymore.
Right.
I don't even know. Even if it's like relatively early, like 7:30 or something, midway through, I'll be like, ooh, I'm so cozy. And just like something about falling asleep to a movie is so comforting.
It's so nice. But I don't know why I get defensive and tell him I'm not sleeping.
That's so funny. Okay. So what did you guys do after you go and fall asleep on the couch or you watch TV? What kind of restaurants do you usually go to?
Ooh, lately Italian.
Okay.
Which I never used to go to. I never ever went to Italian restaurants.
That's so interesting. That's like the go to.
Really?
In my family and with Jared and I too.
Oh yeah, a lot of, and it's also really romantic. Mm-hmm. I was a big, like, I would always go to Mexican restaurants. Mm-hmm. But Chris likes fine dining, and the only reason I don't like it is because I have to get ready. Sometimes you got to get ready.
Right.
But then once I'm ready and stuff, I love the experience. And the Italian food that I've tried, a lot of the times we went to some really nice Italian places in New York when we were there and in Chicago. And it's so beautiful. And a lot of the two of the restaurants we went to, we got to see them make pasta in front of us, which I thought was really, really cool.
Very nice. So I have a suggestion for your next date night. Because since I went to Italy, I've become a food snob, and I just get fresh, organic, imported pasta from Italy.
Whoa.
So when he comes to visit you in LA, go to Italy, get all the imported things, and like make dinner together. Yes. And what I craft now in our kitchen, to me, is better than what we go out to get.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right, Katie, my last question for you, because you dress so well in Paradise and you're dressed so cute right now in front of me. Where is your go-to place to shop?
Show Me Your Moo Moo every time.
Okay.
Show Me Your Moo Moo has clothes that you can go out in, and they also have really loungy clothes. I like wearing oversized things because then I can eat more. Mm-hmm. So mood.
Amazing. My kind of girl. All right, Katie, thank you so much for participating in Ashley's Rapid Fire. That's the way I'm going to say it from now on.
Rapid fire.
And next up, we'll have Crystal.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tis the season to elect benefits through your workplace. Most people know open enrollment as the decision time for healthcare coverage. Doing this ad is a great reminder that I have to do this over Thanksgiving break. It's something I do with my dad every year. That's a spiel. But it is also the perfect moment to reassess your life for insurance needs as well. Another thing I should probably go over with my dad when I'm at home at Thanksgiving. Thank you for the note. So,
to properly provide for your family, most people need 10 times the life insurance coverage than what they get through their jobs, which means that your employer life insurance is leaving you underinsured. That's where Policy Genius can help you. Policy Genius is the easy way to shop for a life insurance plan that's not tied to your job. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find your best price. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape, and the life insurance that you buy through Policy Genius stays with you, even if you leave your job. Whoa, that is good deal. And Policy Genius doesn't just make it easy to get life insurance. They can also help you find the right home and auto insurance and disability insurance too. All that is very important to have, especially if you have a family. You can buy, you know, gifts for the holidays that you can hold in your hand and put under the Christmas tree. But truly, you can save yourself with Policy Genius and you can get amazing insurance at the end of the day. That's really one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself and your family. So when you're looking at your workplace benefits this month, make sure to double check your life insurance options and then go to policygenius.com and get quotes and apply in minutes. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance.
All right, next up, I want to bring in my friend Crystal Nielsen. She's been on the podcast a ton lately, but I figured since she's up here in Napa, as might as well get her opinions on the hottest of all Bachelor topics in the past couple of weeks, and that has been the breakup of Demi and Christian.
Hey, what's up, girl? Hi.
All right, so were you expecting to see the end of Christian and Demi?
You know, I want to say that I was really... I remember at our wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I was
going
next.
First time that I heard that they were dating and there was the same-sex relationship. And it was the first of history for The Bachelor that was televised and publicly known.
Yeah. Well, and, do you know something we don't know? Is there another one?
No, there have been dozens in the past. Just that I've heard through the vine.
Oh, have you? I've heard these.
Well, yeah, there was some that were like notoriously like bisexual. I think like Jamie was one.
Yeah, and right. But did she ever hook up with somebody from the show?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh my gosh.
But Christian wasn't from the show. Like, yeah. She wasn't, you know, she was a regular person,
yeah,
if you will. But I will say, going back to your question, was that was my first time hearing about a same-sex relationship, and it was actually on my wedding day.
I know.
And I was like, what? And the whole time I was like, how is this going to play out? My mind was freaking blown for like a solid 30 days.
But it was,
how?
You were mind blown because she was able to bring on someone.
The whole thing.
The world.
The whole thing. It was just something I did not see coming. Mm-hmm. And that it was someone that wasn't from the show, that they'd been dating prior to filming. There was just so many areas around it that were so out of the norm. Mm-hmm. But I will say, watching it unfold, I thought it was really beautiful how it really came to be.
Yeah, I mean, they were so rootable during their season. Absolutely. The love was definitely there. The feelings were palpable.
Yeah, and I think that really seeing Christian just felt so authentic to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really liked her.
And I was really rooting for them.
Yeah.
But coming off the show, I remember saying, like, when we were there at reunion, at the final taping, I was like, look, there's a lot of pressure that comes of being a bachelor couple, I'm sure, as you know, and they're all very young, and this is very new, and they are dealing with a lot of hate, a lot of pressure, a lot of exposure, and not to mention Demi was just figuring out if she what her gender preference was in a relationship. So I think it was just probably a lot to deal with and process.
I think it was a giveaway that in the past month or so, there had been no Instagram content of the two of them. Mm. On Help I Suck
like it'd been
dating,
more than a month.
Katie had actually said that she doesn't want to post photos with Chris because she feels like it'll lead on the audience, sort of. She's like, I'm not going to post until I feel 100% solid with you. So I think that's like very mature
And
authentic.
So I'm, you know, Demi obviously wasn't just posting pictures with Christian for the likes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that was a giveaway a little bit that they were on a rough road.
Yeah, I think that there's just a lot of, I mean, of course, if you don't see couples together,
yeah,
especially coming off of a show when you're yeah. really being celebrated, like yeah. that is your time to like yeah. get the love, get the support, and just be proud of your relationship, especially because they were really setting history that I was really surprised that I hadn't seen any,
yeah, me too.
Any interaction of them together. Right. So I think it makes sense. And I just wish them the best. I think that they're just figuring it out. And you know who you should really interview is Christian. I would love to hear her perspective. Oh, let's yeah. write that down.
Because nobody's been like pulled into the world like she was.
Oh, talk about flipped upside down.
Right.
I mean, just the magnitude of it. I would love to talk with her.
It'd be so good.
It'd be so good.
Let's book her right now.
Can we text her?
Yeah. Can we call her next week, our next in-depth episode? That would be amazing. So, yeah, I mean, I can't say that I'm surprised just because of what the lack of what we've seen lately, but it's sad. It sucks. I was rooting for them hard.
Yeah, I was too.
It was really fun to watch their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had this pondering question that I just kept thinking of during the season and after their engagement. I was like, if they were to have continued to date in real life over the summer, would they have ever gotten engaged?
Right. No. Well, I think that, I mean, honestly, a lot of couples, and I think if Chris yeah. and I would have met
yeah.
in real life, like, we wouldn't have gotten engaged after a month.
You know what I'm saying? That's basically like every yeah. other bachelor couple.
Of course. You're yeah. just in that environment where, and for the listeners who don't know, or, you know, I'm sure you do because you listen every week, right?
Well, they the can podcast. Know, like, from the knowledge perspective, yeah. but they can't know from the emotional from the perspective.
Real, yeah. yeah, you are supported in such a way, especially for Chris and I. I mean, you are just almost hand-fed this amazing support of this relationship to blossom and thrive. And, like, everyone's behind you. Everyone's rooting for you. And, I mean, it's an incredible feeling, honestly. I mean, it really is. And you find yourself in these situations where, I mean, when you and Jared came down, actually was.
You were there.
It was actually a, you know, memorable day in our relationship.
Okay, so why was that a big day in your relationship with Chris?
So after you guys got engaged, all the producers pulled all of us to have, like, important conversations about, you know, hey, we're more than half with your paradise. Where do we see this relationship going? Yeah. Do we see ourselves getting married and kids? And Chris and I decided that night to go into the Boom Boom Room for the first time. And for those who don't know.
I mean, you guys know what happens.
There's only one camera. Yeah. Instead of 12 around right. you.
And what do you think the camera person, not the camera person, but I guess the person up in the control room, do you think they watch or
not? Of course they watch it. We could see the camera following us.
Really?
Yeah, we were kind of into it.
Okay. It's kind of like that we're doing a sex tape type exactly. thing. Exactly. Hopefully it'll never get out. Well, actually, you're like, it won't get out because
there's
they can't
no
show
way
this
that
on ABC.
Footage could have got out.
You under it's the covers, ABC. Though, right? Under the covers.
No.
Oh my God. We were on the balcony, Ashley.
But under the
watching everyone at the campfire. You were watching everybody?
I mean, we were there.
You had the windows pulled? Like the curtains?
So we were in the room all the way at the very top, which has, it is a beautiful room with like an open, there's no windows. Like it totally open. The whole room is open.
Oh, you were in the loft.
Yeah, that top
one. I thought you were talking about the other Boom Boom Room that has like a little bit of a curtain.
No. We were okay. All the way up, top of the treehouse.
So basically anybody could walk in. To like go get some snacks in the refrigerator.
No, we were at the very top.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't have a door or anything.
It doesn't.
No.
And that's a minute exciting.
So maybe they couldn't see you if they were getting a snack in the refrigerator.
Yeah, I will say that night was an amazing night. An amazing night. And it just happens to also be the day that you got engaged.
You waited actually. A bit. You waited a bit. It was like 3 weeks.
We did. Yeah, we waited.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
We did. Okay, well, there was a lot of built up, you know, like yeah. we were ready.
Oh, so what made you?
So that? Thank you, Ashley.
You're welcome. I inspired the romance.
You did.
Oh my God. Thank you.
These conversations.
Why'd you do it then and not wait for the fantasy suite?
You know, I think we just didn't know how much time was going to be left in paradise. And I think just for Chris and I, it was really, we just wanted to spend a night together and not even so much just have sex, but we just wanted to see what it would feel like to, for me to wash off all my makeup and crawl in bed with him, to brush our teeth together, to fall asleep. Like, does he snore? Can we sleep together? Like, are these things compatible? And I needed to know that sooner than the night I could potentially get engaged to someone.
Yeah, like,
I
needed the next day is engagement day.
Exactly. Yeah. I needed to have a little more of like that realism in the relationship.
All right. Well, Crystal, we talked about one hot topic and you gave us a hot topic.
Girl, thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, next up we have Maddie Poppy.
I'm on a little bit of a health kick lately. It's not just about clean eating, but it's also about not exposing myself to toxic chemicals and eating organically and avoiding parabens and beauty products and stuff. And one of my favorite product lines that I found in this new lifestyle creation of mine is Native Products. All of their products, like deodorant, are formulated without aluminum, parabens, and talc, and they're filled with ingredients found in nature such as coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch, and they don't do any animal testing. You guys know I'm very particular about what I put on my skin, and the number one thing I try to avoid right now especially is chemicals. And making the switch to a natural deodorant does not mean that you're going to have to sacrifice on odor or wetness protection. I tried it. I know these products work, and they have 8,000 five-star reviews. That's a very good sign. So if you didn't believe that it worked for me, there's 8,000 other people who took the time and effort to give these Native products ratings. 8,000 of them give them five-star ratings. It's pretty amazing. Native comes in a wide variety of enticing scents for men and women, and they come out all throughout the year. I personally love the coconut and vanilla scent. It's so tropical. I put it on and it makes me feel like it's summer all the time, and it makes me feel like I'm on vacation. That smell of coconut like brings you right to the islands. They also offer an unscented formula for you guys who like it a little bit more basic, and a baking soda free formula for those with sensitivities to that. But what I do love most is that they have a no risk to try policy. Native offers free returns and exchanges in the US and free shipping. So for 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code FAMOUS during checkout. Again, for 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code FAMOUS during checkout.
All right, guys, we have a very special guest, Maddie Poppy. The winner of American Idol in 2018 is now here in our office. And Maddie, welcome to the Almost Famous podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Very beautiful office you have.
Do you hear at the, the Casarnos Ranch? What's the ranch called? Well, let's say Napa Valley.
Yes, right here in Napa Valley.
Maddie, you have been on reality TV, two shows actually, The Voice and American Idol, and you met your boyfriend, Caleb.
I did. It was The Bachelor mixed with American Idol, right. We like to say.
You guys were the winner and runner-up,
yeah,
and you got together, and that is actually not the only time it's happened on American Idol, but it's still so much fun that you like developed a reality relationship. So I think you kind of understand this.
Totally.
Yeah. So are you a Bachelor fan?
I don't watch every season because like lately I have not been able to watch because I'm never in the same place every Monday night. Mm-hmm. I love that. I know it's every Monday night, but like I've definitely watched, you know, I catch an episode or like a season every now and then.
You follow.
Yes.
Lightly.
Yes.
Okay. So how do you feel like your relationship now is it got more scrutiny because you guys met on a show and because the fans of the show want you guys to be together?
Yeah, for sure. The pressure is definitely there. And also like I can't imagine people who you know, like people who are on The Bachelor, Bachelorette, the pressure that they must feel to stay together, even if like after the fact they know like it's, you know, this isn't going to work or something. You know, I'm lucky that I do actually, you know, I do feel like my boyfriend and I will work out, you know, yeah. hopefully. And
you recently called him the one.
Oh, yeah, that's everywhere, isn't it? That's weird. That's really weird. But yeah, I can't imagine the pressure that I would feel if I was just like, because like we can't, you know, if we broke up, I can't imagine.
But, you know, it's interesting because you said that, you know, that you think that we have a lot of pressure, but you guys were able to date and form a relationship while you were actual competitors on the show.
Yes.
How did that work? How was there not jealousy?
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I think if he would have won, I would have been extremely jealous.
Okay.
So I think it's good it worked out. Just girls get jealous. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he didn't really want to win.
Why not?
Because, I mean, honestly, I don't know that... This sounds terrible, but I don't know that he would have been the best winner because I don't know if he would have been able to like do all the, you know, Disney is tied in with ABC. And so you have to put on the Mickey ears and be like, let me tell you about the magic of Disney.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I don't know that he would have been able. Hello, record label guy who's with Disney Hollywood Records. Yes,
Hollywood Records. The former label of the Jonas Brothers.
That's right. That's right. But anyways, I don't know that he would have been able to do all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'd just be harder for a dude, I think. But yeah, it honestly, it never really felt like a competition show. It was more like summer camp because
that's how it feels filming The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, not Bachelor in Paradise. Bachelor in Paradise is a more rigorous emotional experience. Could imagine.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it was opposite for, oh, yeah, okay. Well, Crystal here, who's sitting in, had a little bit more of a tumultuous time during The Bachelor. But that's a different conversation. You were on The Voice as well. And I feel like your story is so, it's so incredible. You did a live, you did a live performance for the judges on The Voice. Nobody turned around. You were eliminated right there on the spot. Mm-hmm. And then American Idol, Lionel Richie said, like, you need to be part of this competition. And then you won it. What in the world? How is it so inconsistent?
First of all, you do great research.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you actually watched or you just looked this up, but either way, it doesn't matter. You're great. Thanks. A lot of people would be like, so what's your name?
I mean, I just need to let you know here. Heart Idol. In Virginia, you can have a heart on your license plate. So mine said Heart Idol from like 2007, 2011.
So do you still watch?
I don't watch it the past like five seasons.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. It's okay. I haven't watched the past five seasons either.
David Cook performed at my wedding.
Wow. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's big time.
Yeah.
The question was... about The Voice.
The question was about The Voice. How is it so inconsistent?
It was super embarrassing, first of all.
Your talent is mind-boggling. Like, your voice was made to be famous.
That's so sweet.
And
thank
for
you.
None of those judges to turn around, I think if Kelly Clarkson had heard you, she would have turned around now.
I gotta say something, though. That's so sweet. But I gotta say, I wouldn't have turned for me either. I didn't think it was a very good performance at all. Like, watching it, I was cringing. And, like, first of all, that show is very different from Idol because on that show, they have so much control over you. And, you know, they pick your outfit and your song and everything. Idol is literally like, okay, just show up and do whatever you want. And I think that's what was so different. You know, I didn't get my guitar when I was on The Voice, so I was super awkward. And I didn't know even who I wanted to be, what genre I wanted to sing. If it would have worked out then, it wouldn't have been good. So,
the age difference was a year and a half between The Voice and Idol.
I know. And that, and it's crazy how much I kind of grew in just that little amount of time. But I was devastated after that. Of course, I thought, you know, Idol was going off the air like that same season. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, that was my last opportunity.
And then there it was. Came back so quickly.
Came back. Yeah. Not even give it, what, maybe a year?
Not even two full years.
I know. Yeah. I just wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Honestly, I can't sit here and say, yeah, screw The Voice. You know, they didn't turn around for me. I think a lot of people want me to be like, because some people ask like, yeah, what do you wish you could tell Blake Shelton now? And I'm like, well, I'd tell him you were right. I wasn't ready then.
There you go. And yeah, I'm not being biased right now because you're in front of me, but I've always just understood the appeal of Idol more than The Voice.
I never got into it. And this is a girl who had Heart Idol on her license plate.
That's amazing. Yeah. And that means a lot. I mean, I think that that show has had so much success because they let people be whoever they want to mm-hmm. be. You know,
yeah.
when you package something together and then you put it out into the world, you can't expect it to continue to, you know, thrive in the way it did when that person was surrounded by
a team, real crazy.
Yeah. And just controlling. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, that show obviously has been on for so many seasons.
Sure.
But people love it.
I feel like it's more a TV show and less of a launching pad for artists.
Oh, for sure. It's not about the artists.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds really bad, but it's not about discovering Kelly Clarkson. Yeah. You know, it's about, the banter between the judges, and they have such a great lineup, mm-hmm. you know. Obviously, that's so entertaining because it's like a reality TV show for these stars already, you know.
I want to go back to your boyfriend for a second, just be Caleb Lee Hutchinson. And he's an artist, of course, still working in Nashville. Yes. But he and you met on the Idol. You've been together for a year and a half. And I saw that you post a monthly post on Instagram saying, "We're still together. Just letting you know, because the fans will always speculate." We were just talking about a bachelor couple who broke up. And we all speculated that it was coming because they hadn't posted of each other in a mm-hmm. month. So how do you feel about the pressures of keeping up your relationship on Instagram? And since it's such something that we as a bachelor family have to deal with all the time.
Totally. I mean, man, we can relate on so many levels mm-hmm. because, it's like, I feel like we will like joke around on Twitter or something. And then the next day, like if we don't post every day, you wouldn't believe the comments. They're like, some will be like, "Well, she's pregnant," and others will be like, "They're done for good." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just that, no, I mean, there's so many expectations, and it's like, you know, it's just become kind of a joke. Like, that post was a total joke because I was just like, you know, I don't care. I'm happy in my relationship. I don't think I need to let the world know every 5 seconds, you know, keep them updated on, you know,
right.
what's happening with us. Because, yeah.
And Instagram is a big highlight reel of a relationship anyway.
It is.
It's just all butterflies and rainbows. But, and then of course, if you were to show some realness, then people would be like, "Oh, they're on the rocks."
Totally. And you know what? The thing that kind of sucks about being a musician nowadays is that you're not just a musician. You have to be a social media influencer too.
Yeah. That's kind of goes along with every division of entertainment.
You know,
now.
Like anything you want to do, you know, if you want to keep it up, that platform on social media is so important. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a presence there, well, I mean, it's one thing if you made it in the 90s and you're like, you know, just going to be a star
at this
forever.
Point. Yeah.
But for people up and coming, if you don't have a social media platform, it's like, you're just,
you're certainly not appealing to the millennial crowd.
No, but it sucks because, man, it's exhausting. Social media is exhausting mentally, everything,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Last thing I want to talk to you about is your new single, "Bring It Home," featuring former American Idol alum Philip Phillips. It's now available, and you can get tickets for your upcoming tour. Who are you going on tour with?
I just finished the tour.
Oh, you just finished the tour.
But you can get tickets to something else. I don't know yet.
All right. But well, check out where she's going to next on MaddiePoppy.com. That is MaddiePoppe.com. And your album came out in May. It's called Whirlwind. If there's one song on Whirlwind that you want people right now to open up their Apple Music to, what do you want it to be?
It's called "Not Losing You."
Okay.
And
it will woo you.
And it's charting on the radio. So that's the one. Keep streaming it so we keep moving up.
All right. Well, thank you, Maddie. So nice meeting you. You are the second. You're the second American Idol we had on this podcast. And
oh,
I
was the
really,
first.
It was McCreary. Yeah,
cool.
Scotty. Yeah, it was very cool. We were here in Napa for that one as well. The Country Music Festival.
Very cool.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary. You've been a wonderful guest.
Well, thanks for having me. This was so much fun.
I like your shoes. You got some platforms
thank
in this
you.
Converse.
They were hard to find. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Thanks.
All right, we'll talk about a jam-filled show, guys. We had Crystal, Katie, Maddie, Poppy, and we also talked to Joe and Kendall. I mean, damn,
We covered a lot in one episode here at Live in the Vineyard in Napa Valley. It's been a wonderful time talking to everyone and just chilling out with some wine. We hope you guys enjoyed it too. And the next time you hear from Ben and myself, we will be together. Promise you that. I know you guys like those episodes when we get to, you know, have our original host time. So thank you guys for listening. Love you so much. Goodbye. Oh, I've been Ashley.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.